Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Just imagine when we're around that throne with a number that cannot be counted of people over human history assembled around that throne on that crystal sea of glass singing to God. How beautiful that's going to be. As Team Jesus, we will be there. We got a section right up in front. Because we're going to take up our cross. We're going to be good servants of Jesus Christ. We're going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. That's what God is calling us to do. Today we're going to continue our study in the book of Philippians with a sermon entitled The Glossed Over Words in Philippians chapter 1 verses 12 through 21. Now again, I said the next two sermons, we're going to hear something that we need to take in. We're going to need to apply to ourselves. You know, like when you join the military, when I joined the Marine Corps out of high school, you know, you show up on Paris Island, drill instructors get a hold of you, and there's nothing right about you. Everything about you is wrong. You're just a civilian, and they're gonna tear you down, they're gonna rebuild you up, and they're gonna teach you how to talk, they're gonna teach you how to walk, even how to eat. Yes, eat. And shower, shave. Everything is you're taught. So when you get there, you expect to be, there's nothing really right about you, and you're gonna be corrected constantly. That's not easy. It's hard. Humbling. But then when you get out in the Marine Fleet, Marine Force, get out there where the Marine Corps really is, you're constantly being evaluated. And every year you get this scoring system, and there's 50 different topics, categories on that scoring sheet. They're going to analyze you and score you as a Marine. And you might score, if you score low, you probably will not get promoted. You'll probably not be able to remain in the Marine Corps. It's tough. And then once they get the sheet done, you got to go stand there. And yeah, they're going to tell you some good things about you, but they're also going to point out what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. But it was such a powerful tool to help us improve as Marines. And when I was in the Army, it was the same thing. It's always about improving ourselves. The next two sermons are going to be something like that, where we're going to look at something that might be lacking in us. We're in a good place as a church. We've had a long, tough road. But now there's good soil for God to work in. And that starts today. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Pick up where we left off before Easter. But I want you to know, brethren, Paul says here, that the things which happened to me, remember, he's in jail, he's in prison right now for the faith, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Him being arrested and being persecuted had brought the knowledge of Christ to those who were actually imprisoning him, following orders of their superiors, and now they're being introduced to Christ. They're around a believer in Christ. And Paul would be the best one to be around if you want to get a taste of what Jesus Christ is like. You want to understand what it means to be a believer. And so even in his chains, God is using him. Sometimes when we go through hard situations, like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? God, don't you love me? And we can have all sorts of doubts and questions when we go through hard times. But if you trust God, God says all things will work together for good to those who are called to be God's children. All things, good and bad, will work together. And here it's working for good, even though he's a prisoner. Verse 14, and most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now we know about peer pressure, right? And I know some of the teens up here, and you got peer pressure at school. It's kind of hard to go against the whole group. But maybe when one person steps out, maybe it's easier for you to step out. And here with Paul willing to put it all on the line for the faith, even to be arrested It gave courage to his fellow believers that they too could step out. Verse 15. Some indeed, he says, preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ with selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. So he brings up this point, which is kind of hard to imagine. Inside the church, supposed to be filled with believers in Jesus Christ, disciples, those who love the Lord and His Word, but there were some, because there are always some in churches that aren't there for the right reasons. They're there to make church about them, or they have an attitude or something against someone else. And here there were some people who, with Paul being in prison, others being encouraged and willing to step out because of what Paul was going through, some took this as an advantage to stick it to Paul. Well, if I keep preaching this Christ, maybe they'll be more severe on Paul, who brought Christ to this region in the first place. They wanted to hurt Paul. So they were preaching Christ for some twisted reason to hurt Paul. But others were doing it out of love. Verse 18. Paul says, what then? What should I do? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being preached. You think Paul is a half cup empty, what the hell they say it? Half full guy? Or do you think he's half full or half empty? Half full, yeah, half full. He goes, hey, they're out there, they're doing it for the wrong reasons, but hey, Christ is still being preached. People are still hearing the name. The name above every name. So he was looking on the upside. Christ is preached, and this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body. Who did Paul want the world to see in him? Christ, not him. Christ. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. Is this a man sold out? Is this a man who realizes what a wretch he was and the amazing grace that saved him? That he who is above all things came down to be our servant, to die on the cross for us? Is this a man who realized that he had everything in the cross, in Jesus Christ? And that he loved the Lord with all his heart? Do you see that in Paul? That doesn't matter who he was anymore, what he wanted in life. It was all about Christ. And if he could live for Christ, or if his death served Christ, it didn't matter to him. Verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now let me ask you something. Be honest here. Which part do we usually focus on? The dying. Why? It's easy, right? It's just one thing to do. Just die. And then we go to heaven and we think of heaven. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should focus on heaven. So many people have walked away from the church and walked away from belief in God because they have no idea what heaven is like. So many teens and young people are captivated by all the shiny things out here in the world when they are nothing compared to what God describes about heaven, the millennial reign, the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and earth. Oh, most people have such a small, narrow, pinhole view of heaven, of being in a dress, on a cloud with a harp. How boring. Or it's just a long church service. I don't want to go if it's that. And I like church services. Oh, it's so much more. It's a life beyond what we can even imagine. A real life, a physical life. Remember, we have these physical bodies. So we should focus on heaven eternal. That should motivate us. That should keep us standing for Christ because, as Paul said, whatever we may suffer here pales to the glory to come. But we do usually focus on die as gain. And we kind of gloss over to live as Christ. That's much harder. As Jacqueline said, dying is easy. Easier. Well, it's still easy too, right? I mean, we die and we're in heaven. That's easy. That's one thing on the list. To live as Christ is something else. And right now, I think we're all alive. Everyone hopefully is breathing in here. So the die is gain is not in the cards today, hopefully. But to live as Christ. When we walk out those doors, we're not walking out to die. We never know when death is coming. That's why you need to be secure in Christ. You must be born again. But we're going out to live. That's what God is calling us to do. To live out there as salt and light. To live as Christ. Understand what this means. So, this is what one thing we are being called to do. Today, it's about out there. Next Sunday, it's about in here. Two aspects that we need. And some of you are doing these things already. Some of you are starting to, you're growing into them. And others are lacking. But again, that's where the process is. We're all on this road together as the church. So here, let's take a look at what it means to live as Christ. The first thing is to live as Christ means that we seek the will of God the Father. Jesus said this in John 4:34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." That's my food. That's what I live for. It keeps me alive. It gives my life purpose and meaning. You see, if there is no God, tell me what your purpose and meaning to life is. And there is none. Think about it. If God wasn't there, your life is just basically an accident. Random chance by natural forces in nature to bring you into an existence. You're just a higher life form animal. You're going to live and you're going to die and it doesn't really matter in the big scheme. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. But Jesus says there is purpose. I mean, we were created for a cause. We were created for a purpose. We have meaning. And He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." Jesus Christ had a meaning and a purpose. As the man Jesus Christ, as the God-man. John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." So we are to Christ, to live as Christ, and Christ sought the will of the Father, so should we. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." We have discussed this many times. This verse should be very familiar to you. that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, your body, your life, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So there's black and white here, isn't there? The world, sexual immorality, that's kind of the trademark, and there's all these other things the world is into, and things we used to take part in ourselves when we were out there in the world. But see, we are called to sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in us through the Word of God that transforms us from what we used to be into children of God, into saints. Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Not religion, not us trying to clean ourselves up, trying to look good on the outside, but we're still, we're like what Jesus called the Pharisees. You look good on the outside, you're whitewashed tombs, but on the inside, there's nothing but dead bones and decay. That's what religion does. Makes you look good on the outside. But this changes you on the inside. Oh, I've known many believers who people call themselves Christians, but they're critical, they're mean-spirited, they're unkind. They're just not nice people to be around. But then they're around believers who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the love, the kindness, the patience. You like to be around those people. Sanctification creates that in us. It turns us into what we were supposed to be as God's creation. Opposite of what the world is. Self-centered. Full of darkness. And don't judge them too hard, because we used to be out there, one of them. By God's grace, that amazing grace, we are here. And we're going to bring the same. But we need to show people Christ. We need to show them. That's what sanctification does for us. Another aspect to live as Christ is this. It means that we imitate the example of Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Paul was all about showing Jesus Christ. And he's probably the greatest example of any human being. He's probably the greatest believer in Christ who's ever walked the earth. That's who we're to imitate. We're supposed to show Christ. A sanctification will help. And then purposely thinking, I want to show Jesus Christ. Here's a little saying. You may be the only Jesus some people see. Another saying is, and it's not, I don't have a screen for it, but it says, you may be the only part of the Bible somebody reads. We have a responsibility. We're ambassadors of Christ to represent Christ here, to show Christ when we go, to show Christ when we're stuck in traffic and that person cuts you off, or when you're at the store and there's somebody being trained on the cash register and it's taking a long time, or they don't get your order right when you go through the drive-thru. Show Christ. Paul said this in Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. The love. And true love is always self-sacrificing. True love will always put the other person before you. You'll put their needs before your own. True love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. Agape love. And that's what Jesus came to do. And through that love, he offered himself as a sacrifice. Now, he had offered himself as a sacrifice completely. But God doesn't ask us to do that. He asks us to be a living sacrifice. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your vessels, in sanctification, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Why is that reasonable? Because Christ gave his whole life for us. God created us. Your heart is beating right now because God designed your mind to send a signal without you even thinking about it to keep your heart pumping. You're an amazing creation of God. It's our reasonable service to live for the one who died for us. And do not be conformed to this world. You know, we're in the world when we come to Christ. We're sinful. We're wretched. God's grace reaches us and we're saved and we're pulled out of darkness and we're pulled into the amazing light of God. And we're to be here in this world. In the world, but not of the world. We're to show a better way. We're to show a contrast from others. And it's not about showing us, as Paul wanted to show Christ. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to show how good we are. We're trying to show how good Christ is. And so we don't conform to the world anymore. Where we used to. The old ways are gone. We let the old ways go. And we embrace the new. We come out of the world. Still in the world, but we're here to show Christ. But we're now stop conforming and looking like everybody else out there. Because we're going to show Christ. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, here's the change from the inside out. God tells us He'll give us a new heart. And here He's going to renew our mind because the world has taught us to think the wrong way. Or the world has taught us things that aren't true. And now God's going to rework it. He's going to bring truth into our mind. He's going to rewire the mind to think the way we're supposed to think. Understand the world correctly. Understand life. The renewing of our mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, a lot of people, and I used to think this too. And growing up, because I grew up in a Christian home, and consider myself a Christian, and born again believer, and baptized, said a sinner's prayer, not once, but twice. But I thought I knew what would make me really happy. I knew what would make me happy. Because it was what I wanted. And what I wanted since a little was to be in the military and especially in the Marine Corps. And if I had that, man, I'd be happy. Grew up in all the John Wayne movies and all the old war movies, and that's what I wanted to be. One of my earliest memories of my father's walking on base, and he was in the Navy, and he had his whites on one day, dress whites, and we were walking on base and colors sounded. That's when they're going to raise and lower the flag and the whole base shuts down. Cars, if you're driving, you stop and you get out of your car on base. And I remember I was walking down one of the roads on the base and had his hand, I was little, and he looked so big and straight in his uniform and colors sounded and he dropped my hand. He let go of my hand. And he faced. And then the music sounded. And boom, we popped that salute. And I remember looking up. So proud. So honorable. I wanted to be like that. And that was good. That's why I wanted to be, and I thought, if I become that, I'll be happy in life. But as proud as I was of my father, I never looked to my heavenly Father to see Him. Everything good in my dad was from above. The honor, the courage, the commitment, that was in Christ. And where I thought I was going to get my will and I'd be happy, and it was, I enjoyed being in the military, but coming full knowledge of my Lord and Savior, I have something that I can never be taken away. You know, you can only serve in the military for so long, and then you get old, and your body just can't handle it anymore like you could when you were young. So eventually you have to retire from the military, and then you just get around, sit around and talk about the good old days and all your stories. Right, Gary? That's what us old vets do. Pat? But you're not living it anymore. But you see, with God, the perfect will of God, I get to live that every day of my life. I get to look and serve and be like my Heavenly Father. And it's honorable. It's the most honorable thing we can do. Hope that makes sense. I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. To live as Christ means that we proclaim the gospel. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We're to share the gospel with people, every one of us. Not just, quote unquote, the professionals in ministry, not just missionaries, not just the young people who are on fire. Every single believer in Jesus Christ should be seeking to share the gospel. Let me show you what Paul wrote in Romans 10. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a proclaimer? Some of your translations will say preacher, and they go, ha! See, it's the preacher's job. Now that word just means to proclaim. We are all to proclaim what God has done for us. And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those who go out into the world and share the gospel. To live as Christ means we are willing to surrender all. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now that's not hard, because we like to have a good reputation in this world, don't we? But sometimes we have to sacrifice that. Christ did. He was God Almighty. He humbled himself and became a man. And he wasn't respected. How'd the song put it? Rejected, despised. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and be found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The worst way to die. The cross in the Latin means excruciating. It was so painful. We're ready to surrender all as Christ surrendered all for us. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. And yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. We know Paul was a Pharisee. When he was Saul, he was a Pharisee. And he was persecuting the church. We know the story. But what Paul doesn't show us or mention in Scripture, he says he lost all things, but we know more than likely this means he lost his family. A Pharisee, to be a Pharisee, you had to be married. You had to be the good Christian man, or not Christian man, Jewish man, you know, and you had to be there, and you had to be married, good wife, and kids. Pharisee. Paul talks about being single. His wife probably left him for his faith in Christ. He was working his way up through the Pharisees. He was in position of power and influence. He had a good reputation and probably pretty good money. He was a Roman citizen, educated at the highest levels. Lost it all. But that was okay because he knew Jesus Christ. He had Jesus Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, trash, that I may gain Christ. To live as Christ means that Christ is our life. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I understand it's hard to let control of our lives, to give up control of them. We have plans, we have dreams, we have things we want to do. I understand that I've traveled those roads. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. And His will is perfect. Do you want true happiness and meaning and purpose and contentment? You seek the Lord and you ask Him what He wants you to do with your life. It may be doing what you do, but you do it now for Christ. I remember after coming to Christ, I had multiple jobs leading up to this, but in those jobs, I started doing those jobs for Christ. I had never done that before. But I found out, you know what? I actually enjoyed going to work. I did. And I was going to show Christ on the job. Each day on the job, whatever job it was, and I had some jobs that could have been on that that show, Dirty Jobs. There were times Wendy wouldn't let me in the house. But I was able to show Christ on those jobs. God gave me that opportunity. I had wasted most of my life up to that point on myself, showing myself. But it was, I gotta stop spitting on my computer. They say in the South, if you're not spitting, you're not preaching, right? I notice barely anyone sits up front. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I believe this, and I want to live this. You know, I'm not perfect, but I have learned. The first half of my life, I'm almost halfway from where I was a believer. I became a believer at 28 years old. A true born-again believer. And I can compare those first years, the first half, to this second half. And it's been tough. It's been hard. But I like who I am over here compared to who I used to be. I love that I have Christ where I didn't before. I have so much more joy and peace and satisfaction with my life than I did before. I love where God has taken me and what God has done in my life. It's not about me, but it's about what Christ has done. And I want that for everybody else because His way is better. It's hard to believe that. We think we know what we want, and especially when we're younger, we think we know what will be really make us happy, and unfortunately we find out whatever we think, it won't. It won't satisfy, and we won't be able to keep it forever. But Christ will satisfy, and you can keep Him forever. To live as Christ changes everything. It's good. It's really good. Just let Him in. Let Him take control. Let Him renew you, restore you, build you up into what He created you to be. You'll never regret. To live as Christ is good. And then to die is gain. It'll get even better. To live as Christ means we will seek the will of God the Father. Means that we will imitate the example of Christ. Means that we proclaim the gospel. Means that we are willing to surrender all to do that. Means that Christ is our life. We start to live for Christ. Trust me, you'll be a lot happier. I lived for myself for most of my life. To live for Christ, it's better. It's good. Love so amazing, so divine. Next slide, Levi. Oh, did we get off slides? Did I skip one? That's okay. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You see, this sermon here was my Palm Sunday sermon. Talking about the dedication of Jesus to fulfill the will of the Father. That there was that specific day prophesied in the Old Testament where He would ride into Jerusalem. And what was He coming to Jerusalem to do? To die. He knew what was before Him. He knew the horrific scourging, the pain of the cross, the excruciating pain. He knew what lay before Him, and He rode in anyway because He was dedicated to do the will of the Father and to love us and save us. Love so amazing, so divine, that dedication of Christ, that sacrifice of Christ on that cross, that symbol of Rome power over people, the humiliation, the torture, the shame, the agonizing pain, death. That's what that cross symbolized. But when Jesus was put upon that cross, He endured all of that for you and I. And then He changed the symbol of that cross. No longer was it a symbol of Roman torture and control. It was freedom. It was love. It was hope. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I agree. Come on up, team. To live as Christ is something we need to understand, that each day we are to dedicate that day and ask God to help us show Christ out in the world. To do all those things that we see in Scripture. It's a tough list to do all those things, to live as Christ. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do those things. God can do those things through you. And you will benefit from it. And when you think it's too hard to do, look to the cross. Look to what Jesus did on the cross for you. Look to the crucified Lord and Savior. And that wondrous cross. And I think you will find the strength and the purpose to live as Christ. We're just going to stand up and we'll sing this. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this message from your word to live as Christ. What a blessing it is to do. Lord, I ask you to help us all ponder on this deeply. And I pray that we all have that desire, Lord, to do your will, to seek and embrace sanctification, to live as Christ, to show the world who Jesus is. Let us be able to accomplish this, Lord, in your strength and in your spirit. And if there's someone here, Lord, who's outside of you, who's not found in you, who's not been born again, I ask you to put that on their heart, that they're not right, but you want them to be right. You want to forgive them and save them. I ask you, Lord, to put that on their heart. Have them come talk to me, truly find what it means to be a child of God. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Let us go out this week and let us live as Christ. And all God's people said, amen. All right, Team Jesus, we're going to pick up our cross. We're going to go out in the playing field of the world. And I am done on time. All right. Woohoo! Miracles do happen. Let's break out here on the count of three. One, two, three, break! Let's go.